This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. SubhanAllah, Juz 29. We were just speaking before we started how sad we are at the looming departure of this beautiful month. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our deeds, everything that we've put forward. We pray that everything that we have gained is not lost after Ramadan, and everything that we intended to lose of sin is not gained back after Ramadan. Allahumma ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our connection to the Qur'an and nurture our hearts with the Qur'an and with the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and with the love of Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the love of each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it has been, Allahumma ameen, it has been a beautiful experience. You know, obviously the finale is the next one. But Sheikh Abdullah and Sheikh Suleiman, I love you both for the sake of Allah. We appreciate the time, subhanAllah. Sheikh Suleiman Hani's back for the second time, alhamdulillah, so we can get past the formalities. And he is also, alhamdulillah, been doing a nightly Qur'anic dua, or a nightly dua with the community on YouTube, through the Yaqeen YouTube, which I know people have really, really appreciated, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. And I know that he's been very busy too, so we're really happy to have you back, Sheikh Suleiman.
Barakallahu feekum, jazakum khairan. It's always a pleasure. May he love you whose sake you love us for.
Allahi barak feekum. And Sheikh Abdullah, one more after this, man.
Inshallah. Alhamdulillah.
Are you going to try to not see me for like a month after Ramadan? Just like...
No, we'll see. Maybe at the gym.
I'll find you in the gym.
Huh?
I'll have to find you in the gym, sneak up.
Yeah.
On you.
Yes, sir.
I need, after 30 for 30, I need 30 days without you, right? That's going to be the center, right? It's like, get away from
detox.
Me. Now, Allah knows how much we've enjoyed this time, alhamdulillah. So, Sheikh Suleiman, what are you most looking forward to with Eid?
Alhamdulillah, at least with this Eid, we have some sense of community on site. Masajid being partially reopened, in many cases completely opened up for Eid outdoors in a lot of places. And I enjoyed last Eid a lot, alhamdulillah, and it was just with family, literally in the backyard. But nothing really compares to the community on site, subhanAllah. So I'm looking forward to that. I ask Allah to bring the hearts together and to protect our communities. Allahumma
ameen. So just because we always do this, inshallah, now, before we, so what's the food you're looking forward to on Eid? You're in Michigan, so I'm not gonna say what's your favorite kanafa place. I hope you like kanafa.
I'm gonna give a disappointing answer, honestly. I'm not a foodie. I'm really not. I'm in Dearborn, where alhamdulillah we have, I think the best thing we have here is the food after the large Muslim population, but I'm not a foodie. So whatever is there, I'll eat, alhamdulillah, as long as it's good, it's healthy. I'm the wrong person to ask about food.
Spoken like a true Zahid, mashallah.
No, not a Zahid.
Jazakumullah khair. So inshallah ta'ala, as we're about to get started, of course, a reminder once again, keep your brothers and sisters in Al-Aqsa and all over the world, in Yemen, the Uyghur brothers and sisters everywhere, Afghanistan, subhanAllah, keep them all in your dua. With the night out in these last few nights, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them his aid and his victory and his support. Allahumma ameen. And inshallah ta'ala, we're going to now get started. So bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Juz 29, subhanAllah. And when you're getting to Juz 29 and Juz 30 in particular, it's very hard to hone in and focus on one portion because the theme really dominates. And if I could have you remember anything about Juz 29 and Juz 30, as far as the seerah is concerned, Juz 29 is the Juz of da'wah. It is how the Prophet ﷺ should give da'wah. It is that the Prophet ﷺ needs to depend upon Allah, how to keep himself fueled with tahajjud, with qiyam, with that night prayer, how to draw inspiration from the prophets that came before him, a methodology actually, how to draw inspiration from the prophets that came before him, and how to keep focused as he's calling people to the Day of Judgment, on the Day of Judgment himself, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised him. So Juz 29 is the Juz of da'wah. Juz 30, Juz Amma, is the Juz of victory. right? So we'll find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of his favors upon him, reminding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how he got him through the hard times, and reminding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to continue to praise him and glorify him until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes him from this earth after he has completed his mission. So subhanAllah, you see the connection between these two ajza. So for example, you know, and it's hard to focus, but inshallah ta'ala, I'll try my best, right? So the order of the surahs as they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we mentioned, obviously, after the first revelation of Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, right? After that first revelation, the first revelations after that were Surah Al-Muddathir, and it was when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was looking for an answer after what had happened with him in Hira, and he saw Jibreel alayhi salam in the sky in his full form, and Jibreel alayhi salam came to him, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ran to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha once again, seeking to be covered and seeking to be embraced. Dathiruni, and Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha embraces the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the command of Al-Mudaffir. And then Surah Al-Muzzammil comes soon after that. Ya ayyuha al-Muzzammil, qum al-layla illa qalila. O you who is wrapped up, stand up for a part of the night in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that also, subhanAllah, driven to the arms of Khadija radiallahu anha. So it's amazing, subhanAllah, the first three revelations of the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is driven to the arms of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stand and to warn, and then to stand and to pray. Stand and call the people during the day, stand and call upon your Lord at night. And this is the methodology of da'wah given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The counterpart of that in Juz' Amma is, وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Al-Duha, which is also, by the way, within the first selection of surahs. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala find you as an orphan? وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. Allah found you as an orphan. Allah found you as a seeker of guidance. Allah found you as one who was poor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you guardianship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you guidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you, you know, wealth and support. And that was Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, right? So subhanAllah, it's the mentioning of the favor of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha as well upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that message, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one who provided the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, to comfort the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he would receive that message, just as Allah had comforted him with Khadija before. And subhanAllah, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that I was blessed, I was nourished by her love. Her love was rizq to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah, it's sustenance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is da'wah and then the response, right? Allah mentioning the victory and the favor of victory in Juz' Amma, which comes next. So it starts off with, you know, Al-Muddathir and then Al-Muzzammil. So the first two commands are da'wah and worship. Call and pray. Call and pray. Call and pray. And the Muslim lives between these two stations, right? Calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night, and filling their spiritual reservoir so that they can then call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the day, serve for Allah during the day, bring people to Allah, and then bring themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again at night. The moment that you lose one of those two things is the moment that you disrupt the equilibrium and you lose yourself. And that's why the Muslim lives between Al-Muddathir and Al-Muzzammil at all times. And that is something that, especially for those who seek to not just be Muslims that practice their faith, not just be Muslims that get by, that do what they need to do, you know, to be able to have a sufficient amount of religion in their lives, but people who take this as a mission, people who take this as a calling, this is your juz. It truly is your juz. And subhanAllah, you start to go through, and the one surah that's named after a prophet in this particular juz is Surah Nuh. That's the one surah that's named after a prophet in this juz, is Nuh alayhi salam. And Nuh alayhi salam is, you know, obviously particularly mentioned here in the station of being humiliated and rejected, and particularly, by the way, him as a Muddathir and him as a Muzzammil. It's very interesting because if you look at Surah Nuh, the structure of Surah Nuh, it starts off with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning, Inna arsalna Nuhan ila qawmihi, and anzir qawmak, right? That we have sent Nuh alayhi salam to his people to warn his people. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and he said, I'm calling you, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions immediately the crying out of Nuh alayhi salam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the way he's being treated by the people when he calls them to Allah. Subhanallah. And this is, you know, it goes straight to the complaint of Nuh alayhi salam about the mistreatment. And it is in the form of the dua that Nuh alayhi salam is making to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his night prayers to grant him the strength to be able to move forward. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to draw strength from this example of Nuh alayhi salam, who is going between da'wah and going between dua at all times and facing in the process persecution and rejection and hardship. And I'll just, you know, because I know I want us to reflect together on this juz, inshallah ta'ala. I know that our themes match up, inshallah ta'ala. So I'm just going to close out my first portion, my first reflection here, which is that you then see, subhanAllah, these different groups of response. And so it's the methodology of how to call, and then it's the methodology of how to respond and not how to respond. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns Quraysh with the first example of the people of the garden in Surah Qalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not to give up with the story of Yunus alayhi salam in Surah Qalam. So the first example of a prophet given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first example of a people given to Quraysh is in Surah Qalam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about al-jinn wal-insan. So you have the jinn who have their share of rejection and their share of belief. You have al-insan who have their share of rejection and their share of belief. You have al-qiyamah, of course, where it all comes together. And then you have what's after that, a lot of themes about Jannah and Nar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the people of Jannah, the people of paradise. Allahumma ameen. So this is the juz of da'wah, and this is the juz of du'a, the initial methodology given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the response of which will come in juz amma, inshallah ta'ala. But for now, inshallah, like I said, I want to keep my initial remarks minimum so we can have some time to reflect within the night, ta'ala. So Sheikh Sulaiman, anything you want to share immediately, inshallah ta'ala, on what you heard about this juz as a juz of da'wah, a methodology of da'wah and a juz of du'a?
Jazakumullah khairan, Sheikh. SubhanAllah, it's interesting when we look at how much money goes into training programs to train people every year. I believe companies I read before spend over $100 billion a year just in the U.S. on training. And people pay a lot of money because the one they're buying the service from or training from is someone they believe to be an expert. The greatest spiritual training and the greatest coaching for mankind is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, found in this juz to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the one who wants to learn that looks at the methodology and the advice and the instructions and the context of revelation in this juz. We can take so much from it and spend hours talking about the development of the human being, delayed gratification, stand and pray, stand and warn, and everything you mentioned as well. Barakallahu fikum.
Beautiful. SubhanAllah. So instead of blowing thousands of dollars on a there is value in a lot of those education programs, invest in your education, read the 29th juz of the Quran and ponder deeply on those meanings, subhanAllah. I can't tell you, Sheikh Sulaiman, by the way, every single time I have taken one of those courses or listened to a speaker speak about these things, my mind goes back to Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because everything that you find in terms of productivity and how to lead and how to follow and how to energize and how to inspire, the Prophet manifests that best. And of course, the instruction is found in the Quran. SubhanAllah. And I'm sure that's the same experience for you as well.
No, absolutely.
And with that, by the way, Sheikh Abdullah is like the most into that coaching, mashallah. He's a coach, mashallah. And you've taken a lot of that, those courses and a lot of that stuff too, alhamdulillah. So Sheikh, you can reflect obviously, and then bismillah, go into your portion of the juz, inshallah.
Now, bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala amma ba'du. Now, I mean, subhanAllah, when we read a lot of these books from people of our times, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, they talk about these universal characteristics that we should aim, obtain and maintain. You know, it's important for the Muslim particularly that they always bring it back to the source, being the Quran and the Sunnah. The fact that they may not know where it is in the Quran and the Sunnah, it's important to have that initial belief that it is present. So one thing that comes to my mind, I mean, with Ramadan, for instance, you know, this intermittent fasting and things is kind of big now. Well, studies are showing and progressing more now that, you know, some are even saying 2 days out of a week, Some say even, you know, a couple of days out of the month. Well, this is all present within the Sunnah of the Prophet. Some experts are mentioning this, you know, wet fasting versus dry fasting and things of that nature, and mentioning the coaching and leadership and leaving a legacy. We see within the Tadween of Sunnah, within the evolution of how the Sunnah came about through the scholarship and transmission and grading of the narrators. I mean, we still haven't approached, you know, when it comes to academic rigor, you know, something that was done thousands of years, hundreds of years before us. And subhanAllah, we see its preservation is unprecedented. So definitely, it's important for the Muslim. Yes, when we see things that we like in this life or that we read from inspirational people that may talk about good things, to know and to have surety that it is present within our tradition. And bringing that synergy together is when one seeks the knowledge and they, you know, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask him to show them the right way and guide them on the straight path that we do the Sirat al-Mustaqim, inshallah. So what I want to talk about, inshallah, is definitely in line with what was just mentioned of Nuh alayhi salam. I really want to cover the 10th verse in the chapter of Nuh, which is the kind of going to connect between what was before and what comes after it. So we know Nuh alayhi salam is one of the Ulul Azm. He's one of the prophets of determination of the five, being what he went through and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has predestined for him and the message that he was teaching and how he was giving the message to the people that were around him. Knowing that we say Noah's Ark, or it was the boat of Noah that he was preparing and people were making fun of him. Noah alayhi salam, his wife and his son, subhanAllah, did disbelieve. They didn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they made takdeeb, belied the message of Islam. And you know, you sit back and you wonder, you know, we automatically have these thoughts about, okay, the da'i, the one that calls to Allah, the sheikh, or whatever the case may be. Obviously, by default, their children and family is going to be the same. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stops, and he it's like he stops you to remind you that, look, this is Nuh. But his son said, Sa'awi ila al-jabali ya'simuni min al-ma. No, dad, I got it all figured out, okay? I'm going to go to this mountain. It's going to save me from this water, this flood that is taking place, you know? But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, innahu laysa min ahlik. Allahu Akbar. He's not from your family of the believers. And we see that case with Nuh alayhi salam. He was a prophet, but it's important for us to know that ultimately Allah is al-hadi. And we talked about this before, that Allah is the ultimate guide, the one that guides you, that enables you to choose and make that right choice. You can get shown directions to go someplace, but it's up to you if you're going to go that way. So the job of the prophets and of all of us as people of knowledge and people that want to talk about our faith to people is just to show them the message. But are they actually going to make that choice? That's up to them. That's where every single one of us has a responsibility if we are those that are considered mukallafun, if we're the ones that are legally responsible, by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear within the Quran and the Sunnah. So when looking at Nuh alayhi salam, we see that he called his people, as is mentioned, 950 years. 950 years, Noah was calling the people to al-Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displays what Noah was saying when he was calling out to Allah, calling out to him. He called in different ways. He said, "Inni da'awtu qawmi laylan wa nahara." He said, "I call them by night and by day." فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا. That my calling, me calling them to what was right, what was true, calling them to worship God, to worship Him alone, it only increased them in firara. يَفِرُّونَ مِنِّي. And they would distance themselves from me, to the degree that they would cover their ears, وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا. That they would cover their faces, cover their ears, and they would be more arrogant. And then Noah goes on and says, "Thumma inni da'awtuhum jihara," that I called them vocally, and I called them in the open. You notice he said he was vocal with it, and then he was out in the open with the dua, right? So Noah is showing that he took all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that Noah, a prophet, took all of the means to call his people to Islam, and they still did not believe. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what Noah was saying, because in the beginning, you know, in the verse number 4, he was calling them to, you know, to leave off what they were worshiping. He says, "Ani abdu Allah wa taqwa wa ati'un," to worship Allah and to be mindful of Him and to obey, to be obedient. He said, "Yaghfir lakum min dhunubikum," He will forgive you of your sins, or from some of your sins. The scholars of tafsir have different understanding when he says, "Yaghfir lakum min dhunubikum," min at-tab'idiyya, that some scholars say It is from the sins you have committed, primarily that of the shirk, or from the sins you have committed in general, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you of that if you worship and have obedience to him. Then after he mentions the means that he takes, Nuh alayhi salam mentions again. He says, فَقُلْ تُسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّرًا. So I told them, استغفروا ربكم, seek forgiveness from Allah, for verily he is the ghaffara. So here, some scholars mention that Noah mentioning this, alayhi salam, Nuh mentioning this, is that he will forgive you for what you have done from the shirk, from the polytheistic practices, by you embracing this faith and understanding that there is no one that deserves worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is what scholars call a takhliya, which is an abandonment of something or leaving off something and moving on to something else. And then after that, Noah says, يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا, that when you seek this forgiveness from Allah, he will send upon you, subhanAllah, the abundance in rain, midrara. And midrara means in abundance. He will send it in an abundance as a response to your what? To your seeking forgiveness. So now it is the istighfar that you sought from, that you asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, would relinquish, inshallah, the shirk that you were practicing, and also will bring you benefits, the tangible benefits in this life. That, you know, what's interesting here is that subhanAllah, Tahir ibn Ashur and Al-Biqa'i, they mentioned subhanAllah that, you know, within this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down this rain, an abundance of rain in the sky for you, because that is what they knew. A lot of them were falahun. So what they knew was that if the rain comes, there's going to be an abundance of risk. And Allah says, yursil as-sama'. He says that he sends down the sky. It's not literally the sky, but it's understood that it's the rain from the sky. And there's other verses in the Quran where Allah calls this the rain rizq. Rizq, because the rain in and of itself, subhanAllah, is a huge component of the ecosystem, of the process, that when it comes down, the vegetation comes forth, and then that's where the animals will eat from it, that's where humans can eat from it, that's where you can take from it and do the barter system. Just those three is in and of enough in and of itself. And then each one of those products that we have from the al-an'am, and then from ourselves getting our money, and then for sustenance, it there's a rippling effect, because from the an'am we can take food and sustenance and coats, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in other verses. But in any case, when Noah mentions that, he mentions the agricultural benefits. Then after that, he mentions وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ, and then he will give you wealth and sons, and he will provide from you with gardens and rivers. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And this is another benefit, and we'll end here. Allah says وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ, and then he repeats وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ. He says, literally, if we were to translate it, he makes for you gardens and he makes for you rivers. Some scholars mention that the garden does not exist without the river, because the river has to flow through the gardens in order to be, you know, it's the natural or Lord-like irrigation, right? You don't have to do it yourself. You don't have to irrigate it yourself, because the rivers go from underground and provide for the Jannat. So Allah provides in this fashion, showing that you don't have to do anything. Allah is Ar-Razzaq, just as he is Al-Hadi. So it's a very important reminder for us that when you seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessings for that is we cannot domesticate it. It goes beyond our understanding. And if we understand istighfar, we can make that analogy with any act of worship, particularly the act of worship of dua, which all of these can come in. Istighfar, asking Allah for thabat, all of these things, know that the power of Allah is not confined to our intellect. The ability of Allah is not confined to our understanding of ability. What we understand from created things, Allah is beyond that, because he is a creator. And it is highlighted here so beautifully. That's why Nuh alayhi salam, when he mentions that, subhanAllah, he mentions the tahliya or the tahliya, and the tahliya is important. That is adornment. So we see here, as he mentioned, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the chapter of Muddathir, which we will capitalize on, is that you have to leave off those polytheistic practices in order to be ready to perform these actions of adab and these beautiful actions, which is a tahliya. So it's abandonment before adornment, if you will, and seeing the da'wah of Nuh alayhi salam, primarily capitalizing on istighfar seeking forgiveness from Allah for our shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that in these last days, in the days to come as well, that we seek forgiveness from Allah, because we know that the abundance and provisions from Allah are endless. Barakallahu feekum.
Ameen. Barakallahu feekum. Barakallahu khair, Sheikh Abdullah. Sheikh Suleiman, tafadhal.
Barakallahu feekum. I'm going to get right into it, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan. It's interesting to connect what you've stated, Sheikh Abdullah, with istighfar and seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how that opens the doors of khair. We can't count the number of stories of people who were starting their journey back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincere remorse, or they were going through hardships in situations you thought were impossible to get out of, and they sought forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 times istighfar, and then something would open up for them, something would happen in their lives. There's so many examples like this, subhanAllah. So jazakallah khairan for sharing that. I want to talk about the link between subhanAllah, this thread, starting with da'wah in Juz 29, as well as istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the delayed gratification that's emphasized through sabr, perseverance. This word that we loosely translate as patience, but really sabr is willpower, perseverance, self-discipline. It includes conscientiousness, delayed gratification. And we find that specifically in Surah Al-Insan, there are a number of interesting points to make that bring all of this to a close, subhanAllah. The word sabr in the Quran, in all of its forms, is found over 100 times. And it's used in Juz 29, Juz Tabarak, 7 times. 2 of them are here in Surah Al-Insan, starting with وَجَزَاهُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا جَنَّةً وَحَرِيرًا. And Allah will reward them for their patience, their perseverance, their delayed gratification, their willpower, holding on a little longer. Allah will reward them with Jannah, with paradise, and garments of silk. So when we think of these verses, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, Allah is with those who persevere. Give glad tidings to those who persevere. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ, Allah loves those who persevere, those who endure, those who have willpower, those who have delayed gratification that is guided for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves this person. These verses didn't come down just so we could recite. Rather, it is for us to take lessons. It is for us to take principles, a reminder, a vision, an internal transformation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to experience that on a daily basis. The end result is paradise for your delayed gratification. And so a question that we could pose frequently, I do, would you rather take a penny today or wait for another day, one more day, for $1 trillion? And of course, the question seems very obvious, and nobody would take that penny today, no matter their situation. And while they are waiting for the $1 trillion, they'll be happy while they're waiting. They'll be content. They're looking forward to the reward. But we're not talking about $1 trillion and a penny. We're talking about a drop of water from the ocean, at dunya, and the rest of the ocean, the akhirah. They cannot be compared. And this analogy was given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the next verse, verse 13 in Surah Al-Insan, مُتَّكِئِينَ فِيهَا عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ لَا يَرَوْنَ فِيهَا شَمْسًا وَلَا زَمْهَرِيرًا. They're reclining on their thrones or their heavenly furniture in paradise, never seeing any scorching heat or bitter cold. In this world, connecting the link here of da'wah and istighfar, there's an emphasis here on delayed gratification. You're relaxing on thrones later and heavenly furniture later. But previously in Surah Al-Muzzammil and Surah Al-Muddathir, what are you doing? قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Stand and pray and stand and warn. So you have duties to do now. You have things to do now. You have to push now for something much greater later on. The relaxation that's real, that's eternal, that's complete is in Jannah. This is not the life of true relaxation. وَدَانِيَةً عَلَيْهِمْ ظِلَالُهَا وَذُلِّلَتْ قُطُوفُهَا تَذْلِيلًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and says, the garden shade will be right above them, and the fruits of Jannah will be very close, very near in terms of their reach. Again, delayed gratification. In this world, think of the opposites. You're striving in the heat, you're striving in the daytime when most people are active and awake, and you're calling people to truth. You're being patient, you're serving others, you're taking care of the ummah, you're taking care of the family, you're advocating for countless causes around the world. And in Jannah, you relax in heavenly shade. And the heavenly fruit that was far in this world, you're looking at it as though it's a future vision. It's delayed for you. But spiritually, the believers knew it was close. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ ثَمَّ رَأَيْتَ نَعِيمًا وَمُلْكًا كَبِيرًا. If you forward to verse 20 in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, if you looked around in Jannah, you would see indescribable bliss and a vast kingdom. The rewards of Jannah, the delight of paradise, the vastness of Jannah, beyond our imagination. You can't really compare anything to it. And this is why it's so important to revive this sunnah that many people overlook, which is in the Fajr prayer on the day of Jumu'ah on Friday, to recite Surah al-Sajda in the first rak'ah, as-Sajda in the first rak'ah, and Surah al-Insan in the second rak'ah. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amongst other narrations. And in particular, think of the verse, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنْ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. No soul knows what is hidden for them of the coolness of their eyes, the reward that's waiting for you in Jannah. You don't know what it's like. You can't possibly imagine. It's a reward for what you used to do. It's a reward for your delayed gratification. And every time you recite Surah Al-Insan, you realize how insignificant ad-dunya is. No matter how much money you have, how comfortable you are, the world here, because of how great Jannah is, it's a prison for the believer here. This world, ad-dunya, is a prison for the believer because of how great Jannah is, how great paradise is. And yet some people throw that away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of the types of people who look for what is close and it may be harmful and they ignore what is beneficial and it is long term. كَلَّا بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةِ وَتَذَرُونَ الْآخِرَةِ. In the same juz, in Surah Al-Qiyamah, Allah is saying to these people, you love that which is near, the immediate life, the quick thing that you want, the instant gratification, the desire that you have. And you're throwing away the afterlife. You're ignoring an eternal life. Would you rather take a drop of water now or an ocean of eternal happiness later? Similar to the famous marshmallow experiment, and it has its critiques, no doubt. We should be teaching our children to develop delayed gratification at a young age. And of course, it's not just for children anymore. In our times, this is something that's affecting everyone. It's affecting adults as well. And for those who want examples, instant gratification, for example, someone who's trying to eat healthy, speaking of the gym and speaking of food, if you have the urge to indulge in like a high calorie junk food instead of something healthy that contributes to long-term good health in your body. This is an example of instant gratification, that you sought it, you had the desire and you just could not hold back. Or the desire to hit the snooze button instead of getting up and going to the gym really early with Sheikh Abdullah, may Allah preserve you. Or the desire to hit the snooze button instead of getting up for prayer. The temptation to go out with friends or socialize or waste time instead of finishing a project or an exam for school. So these are some examples of instant gratification. And what's interesting is that some studies found that younger people tend to have the tendency or tend to have impulsiveness in terms of their tendencies, while older people with more life experience are much more likely to delay their urges or temper their urges. And that's interesting because of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ about a youth who grew up in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because during that time of your life, the age of youth goes up to 40 in Islam, so a lot of people are youth, alhamdulillah. During that time, a lot of people are impulsive. As well, one thing that contributes to all of this, and it affects adults as much as children, is technology, social media. The blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us are also tests. And so if you have access through istighfar, you're making a lot of istighfar, and Allah opens up the doors of this world for you. And you have access to all of these different things, the internet, technology, and everything is fast, right? You have fast streaming services with countless forms of entertainment. You have instant delivery, like same day delivery is now, I think, 1 hour delivery in some places. So everything is made in terms of our blessings and our environments. Everything is being made to be quick and instant. And so people are finding the idea of waiting to be unthinkable. Delayed gratification is no longer something people are willing to handle or experience or exemplify. Delayed gratification from the Islamic perspective starts with sincerity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognizing your purpose, why you exist, a commitment to the process, that you know what the process is and you're committing to the process as well. You're also planning ahead. So there's avoidance of bad environments. And that's why, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا, do not come near bad things, do not come near temptations, do not come near adultery. You're also supposed to plan ahead, right? You're not supposed to open the doors that will lead you to having to choose between instant and delayed gratification. As well, de-emphasizing the reward, right? If there's something in the moment that shaitan is making tempting to you, you're de-emphasizing, you're reminding yourself, it's not as good as it seems. This is actually going to harm me in the long term. Think about the end reward. Think about paradise. Think about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised you. Think about the act of da'wah, the act of self-purification, istighfar. All of this for what? For Jannah. وَسَلْقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ شَرَابًا طَهُورًا. And their Lord will give them a purifying drink. And then finally, the crux, إِنَّ هَذَا كَانَ لَكُمْ جَزَاءً وَكَانَ سَعْيُكُمْ مَشْكُورًا. They will be told in paradise, all of this is a reward for you. And your efforts, your striving, your sa'i, your delayed gratification, your sabr, It is appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa kana sa'yukum mashkura. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the strength and the ability to live upon delayed gratification that is guided by truth and that is guided by objective morality from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to experience the fruits of paradise and the reward of Jannah. Allahumma ameen.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair, Shaykh. Subhanallah. And you know, one of the forms of delayed gratification that's mentioned even is in charity and Surat al-Insan, right? That I don't want anything in return for my charity. Some people want to be praised for their charity. They want to be thanked by the person they're giving charity to. And they're saying, no, innama nut'imukum liwajhillah, feeding you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want anything from you. We don't even want to be thanked because we're thinking about the Day of Judgment. And Allah meets them with the best of their expectations on the Day of Judgment as well. So delayed gratification is certainly the case when it comes to a Jannah. But the certainty in al-Jannah and the certainty in Allah's reward makes the delayed gratification easier. Not in that the struggles lessen, but that in the worth of those struggles and the ability to power through them, knowing that you're struggling for something so real. And that's yaqeen, right? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put that yaqeen, that certainty in our hearts. That's why the dua is to ask Allah for yaqeen and sadiqa, a truthful yaqeen, a truthful sincerity and certainty in our hearts, because that will keep us through the temporary moments that we have in this life. And you know, inshallah ta'ala, I pray that we're able to nurture that together bidnai ta'ala. Again, I know I'm getting very sad because it's kind of, we're getting to the end. It's the last odd night for people, inshallah ta'ala, to you know, bidnai, exert themselves. And I want to remind everyone, alhamdulillah, that the work at Yaqeen is fully free, alhamdulillah, and accessible to the community, and it's powered by the donations of people that believe in the work that we do. And the amount of donors to the amount of consumption of the content, alhamdulillah, is less than 1%. And that's the idea, is to make it as accessible to everyone as possible, those that can benefit and those that can also help benefit others by, you know, inshallah ta'ala, investing in these resources. And your donations, subhanAllah, have helped Yaqeen get to where it is, of course, by the grace of Allah first, and the grace of Allah that enabled you to also spend and invest in this bidnai ta'ala. So a reminder to everyone, inshallah ta'ala, just one last time, not just to donate to Yaqeen. So last night, odd night, donate to Yaqeen, inshallah, and all the other work that's out there, the work for incarcerated Muslims, the work for political, you know, advocacy for Palestine and for other oppressed peoples, the work of charity and relief groups, the work of da'wah, the work of your masjid, your school. Push yourself, inshallah ta'ala, this last night, bidnai ta'ala, let Yaqeen, inshallah, if you see fit, be a part of that portfolio of your last share of good deeds bidnai ta'ala. Sheikh Sulaiman, you said something that offended me. I'm going to let it go, though. You said if you hit the snooze button instead of going to the gym with Sheikh Abdullah, why not me?
I don't know, Sheikh. Are you...
They go to the gym with Sheikh Abdullah,
not me. He's sharing on Instagram. That's how I know.
Ah, okay. I don't share my gym pics, well, you know, benching 500 pounds on Instagram or doing that.
And by the way, I mean, the offer still stands. I called all the shuyukh in Dallas out on my Instagram. I called all of them out, but they put the ad. It was right. It's a field right next to Valley Ranch, trained by Man Ghulam and
Muhammad. All right, I got you.
Uh-huh.
I got you, Sheikh. Khalas.
I'm going to fly down, inshallah.
I got you.
Oh, mashallah.
Me and Sheikh Yasser Bajas are coming. We're gonna come. We've heard your call outs. We're avoiding them, but we're coming. Khalas. Jazakumullah khair, everyone. Keep us in your du'as, inshallah. Keep the ummah in your du'as. Sheikh Sulaiman, jazakallah khair for everything you've particularly been doing with your du'as at night, and you're now participating twice, Quran 30 for 30. I'm sure everyone benefited. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Abdullah, as always. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The mission of the Prophet ﷺ was to impart knowledge, to speak truth and dispel falsehood, to bring hope in times of darkness, to build a confident people, to bring us together with compassion and in strength, and most of all, to instill everlasting faith in every aspect of our lives, so that we can have stronger conviction, fuller hearts, and a well-defined purpose. This is what motivates us every day, to inspire a world of faithful change makers who serve as ambassadors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as Yaqeen strives to build on the final prophetic mission, we invite you to join us in these final 10 nights and realizing that goal.